Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to the Sunday Sample, episode 31, entitled Amen and Amen. How often do you say the word Amen in a church service? By which I mean not a response to a prayer or a statement from somebody else, but as a filler word. It's probably more often than you think. I know I do it more than I would like to admit. Over the years, the frequency has declined, but it still happens from time to time that I throw in that word Amen as a filler. But does it matter? I believe it does matter because the word Amen is a Bible word, and that word is rich in spiritual meaning. And to use it loosely empties it of its potential power and compromises its God-given purpose. Now, I would love to try and create some momentum amongst those of us who lead worship, whether in speaking or in music, in eradicating the word Amen from any context in which it lacks meaning. And how will we do this? Well, let me today take you through 5 points inspired by a section of the book Participating in Worship by Craig Douglas Erickson. And I'm putting the reference to that in the show notes. So you'll find that if you want to buy the book and read it. But it's from one of the sections of the book. And here we go. Point number one. The reason it matters is because of meaning. The meaning of the word Amen. Amen comes from the Hebrew word and when we say Amen, we are saying a Hebrew word that has been used for millennia. It means surely or truth, most certainly. So be it. It means to be faithful, reliable, steadfast, established, and firm. Now, all of those meanings are important, and none of them should be used as filler. Secondly, let's look at the origin of the usage of this word. Now, the word Amen was used in synagogues. It was used in the temple in Jerusalem. And since those times, it's become common in Christian circles and in Muslim circles, in fact. And it's been adopted as a transliteration by many languages. Many languages don't have their own word for Amen. They just use the word Amen, a transliteration from the Hebrew. Now, what about, thirdly, biblical usage? The Hebrew version of the word is found in 25 verses of the Old Testament. The Greek version of Amen is found in 104 verses of the New Testament, so it's an important word, where it's translated in a variety of ways as Amen or truly or very. It's most common in the Gospels. Matthew has 31 verses and John 50 verses out of the 104, and the Gospels contain by far the most references to the word and usage of the word Amen. In biblical usage, as Erickson says in his book, in biblical usage, Amen is a formula that is spoken by the congregation at the end of the liturgy. Have a look in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 36. Or at the end of the doxology, for example, Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Have a look at those references. In the New Testament, Amen is used as an indicator that something important is about to be said. Jesus said, Amen, Amen, translated in the Bible variously as verily, verily in older versions or truly, truly in more modern translations. He said that before some of his most important pronouncements. Again, an important word with significant meaning, not to be taken lightly. Fourthly, historical usage. Most commonly, Amen is used after someone has prayed and the congregation signals its agreement with what has been said. Augustine wrote, to say Amen is to subscribe. Three things here. Agreement. A congregation might say Amen spontaneously in agreement with a speaker. In saying Amen, we as the body of Christ are giving collective spiritual agreement to the truth of what has been said. There's a lot of power in that corporate assent. Jerome recorded that the Amen of his congregation was, I quote, like thunder shaking the empty temples of the idols. That Amen was like a threat to the darkness. Agreement, and then unity. Amen can express unanimity of belief. This is the predominant sense at the conclusion of the creeds, when creeds are used. Agreement and unity and sealing. This is all under historical usage. Under sealing, amen is appropriate when someone is baptized or married. For example, I am now able to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you will be added to Christ's church. Amen. Seems very appropriate in that kind of context. Fifthly, modern usage. In the congregations I serve, amen is most commonly used in corporate settings in the following ways. Firstly, as a corporate response to someone leading prayer, and they come to the end of the prayer and the congregation say, amen. Secondly, as a spontaneous personal response to something said in the church service, most often the sermon. Somebody preaching or teaching will say a phrase. Someone who agrees in the congregation might just spontaneously say amen or amen to that. Thirdly, it's often used as a corporate response to a Bible reading, as in someone will be reading a text from the Bible and they'll finish with, and the church said, and the whole church goes, amen. It's sometimes very appropriate. It feels right after a particularly stirring or inspiring passage of scripture. Fourthly, sometimes it's used as a seal on a baptism, as we mentioned a little bit earlier. Fifthly, sometimes it's used as a way for a speaker to get a response to his or her point, as in something like, if you want to be confident of your salvation, you must make every effort. Amen. It's used as a question to which the response of the congregation is expected to be amen. And finally, in the modern usage, it's sometimes used as a filler between songs. And this is the point of this recording, that I wish to try and help us to get away from this. When it's used as a filler between songs, it's used as a kind of conclusion, or sometimes it's used to at the end of speaking slots. Someone will finish the communion and say amen, or finish their talk about the poor and the needy with an amen. Too often, the word is used to mask insecurity in the speaker or the worship leader, or to fill a moment of silence that the speaker or the worship leader feels is inappropriate or uncomfortable. That's very unfortunate. To use any word as a filler without purpose doesn't make any sense, whether the word is amen or Timbuktu. So, my thoughts are these. Using the word amen in our times of corporate worship is thoroughly biblical and it is helpful. However, we might want to rethink the habits, traditions, and customs we have adopted. Let's consider whether the way we use the word amen is serving a useful spiritual purpose. So, two recommendations. First recommendation, stop using the word amen as a filler in corporate worship. Instead, allow silence. Or say something more meaningful about what has just been said or sung and or what is about to be said or sung. The key to improving the situation is to be better prepared and to consider in advance what to say, for example, at the end of a song. Look at your song set, look at your list, and ask yourself whether there might be something to be said between two songs, especially if there is a short gap. Perhaps you could read a scripture, perhaps you could pray, or perhaps you could comment on the song that's just been sung, or the song that's just about to be sung, rather than a rather lame and empty amen. So my first recommendation is to stop using it as a filler, which I'm going to attempt to hold myself to as well. And secondly, my other recommendation is to continue using the word amen in all other corporate worship circumstances, which we've already discussed or a little earlier. So some questions. What are your thoughts on this topic? Do you think it's worth trying to eradicate the use of the word amen as a filler, or am I being too fussy? If you've tried to reduce the use of filler words, what have you done? How have you done it? And which words have you tried to reduce? So please leave a comment wherever you hear this recording. I would love to know what you think, and we need to post our comments publicly so that we can learn from one another, because we learn best when we learn in community. Then I have a favor to ask, a couple actually. Please pass the link to this recording on to at least one other person who might benefit from it. And if you have a like button you can click, then please do that, because it helps the recording to become more visible to more people. If you haven't yet subscribed to these podcasts, please do so. If you could leave a comment on iTunes that hopefully is positive, then that would help, again, the visibility and spread and reach of these recordings. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope that the next time you gather with your friends to worship God, you will have a cracking time of corporate worship. And we can all say amen to that. Take care and God bless.